Okay, and good morning, everyone. The first argued case this morning is number 21-1370, Britex Financial against Dollar Financial Group. Mr. McGray.
May it please the court. The board erred in holding Dollar Financial Group has priority over Britex by virtue of its prior and unchallenged...
Could you speak a little louder?
Yes. Prior and unchallenged 120 registration. By determining loan financing encompasses Britex's pawn brokerage and pawn shop services, on the issue of priority, the board functionally applied Morehouse. Moreover, loan financing does not encompass the retail aspects of the pawn services, and so the board erred in failing to consider the substantial evidence of record.
I don't consider myself an expert about pawn shops and so forth and what they do, but wasn't there a lot of evidence presented with respect to the loan services and the stuff that pawn shops do? And I guess under a substantial evidence review, it's kind of hard to dislodge that, is it not?
Well, I think I would say that the loan aspect of the pawn shop services is not something that Britex ever disputed. We just believe that there's more to it. There's the loan services side, but then the retail side is a very different part of that. And so what we believe is that when the board held that the goods or the loan financial services they encompass the pawn services, that's a standard that says it envelops it. It's completely inclusive of all services, and
where does the word encompass come from?
The word encompass, it originated, as far as the briefs, Your Honor?
No, as far as the law.
Oh.
Is it in the statute book? What's it in?
It seems
to me an odd standard and not necessary standard.
Yes, we believe it is an odd standard. Where we have seen the word encompass applied, especially by the board, is in a situation under a likelihood of confusion analysis where the board has held that in a situation with a registration that has been asserted against a junior applicant, and either the applicant defines their services broadly or the registration has broad services, there's a finding that those services encompass the junior user services. And so that's where I've seen it. Where we've never seen it and where we were unable...
It's not in the Lanham Act, is that right?
I don't believe it is.
Okay.
Okay.
And what do you think here is the relationship between the priority question and the role of the 120 registration, the unchallenged earlier registration? I'm having trouble understanding how those two things are related to each other in this case.
We believe that when the board granted summary judgment, or not granted, but held at summary judgment, that Morehouse was not a part of this case, and held it stricken from the record, and specifically said that they do not find that the services are substantially identical, that the relevance of the 120 registration at that point in time was no more in this case, because it wasn't. This is not a situation.
Right. So let me ask the question differently. I don't mean the procedural relevance. I mean, suppose there were no 120 registration.
Okay.
What would the analysis here look like?
I think the analysis would have to. You would have to compare when Britex began providing its pawn services versus the 540 and the 073 registrations, which show dates of use junior to Britex. I think that has to be the analysis at that point. And I believe the crux of our argument is that when the board used this...
Why would that be the analysis? I want to just trying to get back to first principles here.
Sure.
Dollar is engaged in a loan-making business starting in 84. You are engaged in a dual-function pawnbroking business. You lend money, you sell the collateral, right? Those are the two things that pawnbrokers
do. Those are the two main elements.
Right. starting in 1993.
Correct.
So putting aside the 120, how would the analysis proceed legally?
Legally, the analysis would need to concentrate on the differences between GFG's prior services for loan financing, check cashing, and those types of things versus the nature of applicants or of Britex's services beginning in 1993, and whether or not that priority, whether or not they could be approved priority by relying on those non pawn service related services.
And would this just be a likelihood of confusion analysis? That is, in that situation, again, forgetting about the 120, dollar has priority for certain kinds of activities, making loans, and there's no registration by assumption of my question. We're just trying to characterize the business they're in, not reading anything from a legal document the way you would with a registration. And then the question would or would not be your business. Would somebody likely confuse use of the same name on your business compared to that one? Would that be the question or not quite?
I think the court would have to first address whether loan finance services or their DFG's prior services are merely descriptive of the money mark.
Let's assume not. Okay.
Assuming that they are not distinctive of.
Assuming that they are distinctive.
That they are distinctive of loan financing services. At that point, you would need to go to I think it is a likelihood of a confusion analysis as to whether or not. Whether or not the pawn services are likely to be confused with the loan financing services. And we believe that there is no likelihood of confusion.
And is all of this coming back to the point you made earlier, which is loan financing or whatever may cover a portion of pawn services, but doesn't cover it entirely. So you've got a portion left that is outside of whatever use of this prior mark is.
That's correct. That is our position. And we believe that portion that is outside of the loan financing is a significant area of this business. If you take the board's holding to another example, it could be read to say that if a car dealership that did in-house financing under the Mark Money Mark, that would be considered a loan financing institution. Clearly, there are things outside of loan financing that dealership does, and that is the.
But what do we do with the portion of the stuff that even you would concede the pawnbroker does that does come within the loan financing?
I think you have to look at, especially under the board's ruling of this encompassing language, I think you have to look at all of the services. And I don't
you have to look at
all of the services. I don't think you can isolate just the loan financing from the rest of the business, because if you concentrate just on the loan financing, then essentially what you have is you have a situation where a pawn shop is simply making collateralized loans, and if the loans are forfeited, they don't have anything to do with the goods. They're just collecting the goods. They're not selling them. And this business is not profitable without the retail side. So that's why I think you need to consider all aspects of the goods and services here in this case. And I think when you consider all those, I think, you know, we have said all along that it was the registration for the pawn services that really caused the damage to Britex.
Can I take you to the Morehouse question?
Sure.
The board, one of the reasons that the board said no to this defense was that you had, I guess, alleged, and I don't know where it is now, I guess it's 54 of the appendix. I think it referred to your reference to pawn store services and something else, right? Is that one of the things the board said? Well, you weren't limited to that. You alleged arguably other things, although you didn't identify them.
in regard to our claim?
In terms of what the harm would be.
Oh, sure.
There might be harm other than pawn services because you had alleged pawn services and other stuff, I think. Right?
Right. And I think
I guess what are those other – I mean, what are we to do with those other things if the record wasn't developed with respect to what they were?
I think over the course of this litigation, Vertex has been fairly consistent that really the harm is with regard to the pawn shop services and the pawn brokerage services. The initial petition, sure, it sought complete cancellation. I think our backup position has been that we believe that the pawn brokerage and pawn shop services should be eliminated from the registration.
Can I ask this, I guess, a follow-up to that question? So the new registrations have the loan financing, pawn brokerage stuff, and then the gold and silver exchange and debit cards, right, and gift cards. And if I remember right, tell me if I'm wrong, that the rationale that the board gave for dismissing the Morehouse defense was the presence in this registration of those, I'm just going to call them gold coins and debit cards.
That's correct.
Okay. And said, well, we don't, as long as there's anything else that's not directly covered by the prior registration, we don't do Morehouse, right?
That's correct. And it went down to the services needing to be substantially identical, and they found
right.
that they were.
So I guess my question is, have you alleged that Britix is currently engaging in or has a non-speculative interest in engaging in the gold coins and debit card pieces? That is, the pieces of the new registration that the board relied on to say, we're going to get rid of Morehouse.
With regard to the debit card services, I think that's a very clear no. There's no evidence in the record of any intent to get into those areas. When you get into jewelry and gold buying, to me, that if it's a pawn, that certainly is within the realm of what we do. But also, it is typical in the pawn shop industry for people to sell their jewelry outright. And so we would say at that point in time, we are those are areas that we would be engaged in.
As a formal matter, did you make that allegation? Did you have the opportunity to make that allegation? It might well make a difference to me whether it was incorrect to dismiss the Morehouse defense, the answer to this question.
Well, I think
what you say now isn't quite the same as having said it in the proceeding.
I think that the pawn shop services in this industry, it almost goes without saying that those parts would be a part of, it would be pawn activities. And so I think our view of it was that it was pled by virtue of just the nature of our services. And I'm into my rebuttal time. Would you guys like to hear more, or can I reserve some time?
Okay. Thank you. Let's hear from the other side. Mr. Ibrahim.
Thank you. Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Bassam Ibrahim here on behalf of Dollar Financial Group with my colleague Laura Pitts. May it please the court. There are really two primary issues before this court today. The first is, did the board in any way err in holding that Dollar Financial Group was the senior user of the marks at issue in this proceeding? And the answer to that is unequivocally no. If we look at the record and the evidence of record, Dollar Financial Group proved we are the senior user in this proceeding.
As I understand it, the facts are completely clear, right? You first used this mark for loan financing. They first used it for pawn brokering. Now the question is, what's the legal relevance of those facts? And that pawnbroking involves some loan financing plus sale of collateral. So it's partly loan financing and partly something else. I don't understand there to be any dispute about the facts as I just recited them. So the question is, how do those facts get evaluated under the relevant legal standards?
Agreed, Your Honor. How they get evaluated is this. The question is, are pawn services part of the broader definition of loan financing services? We have this 120 registration, which has been around for a long time, and our clients have been using the mark since 1984 in connection with loan financing services and subsequently added to its use pawn brokerage services. And the evidence of record shows that pawn brokerage services are part of loan financing services. If you look at the testimony of the owners of Bridex, both Mr. Knuckles and Upton, both testified that, and I'm going to quote in the testimony discovery deposition, how do you describe pawn brokerage services?
But they're very well-defined, well-known in the community part. And this is really where I, too, have trouble. We're just talking about the trademark, the notice to the public as to this is the business that you do in this shop. And if you go into a pawn shop, you know exactly the business that you're getting into and that you're not going to finance broadly all sorts of banking transactions. So what we really need to focus on is the notice to the public that the trademark, the sign over the door, gives you, and why the common usage, the common understanding of the difference between a pawn shop and other kinds of financing should be ignored.
Your Honor, they are one and the same. Imagine going to, if you've never been to a pawn or loan financing store, Your Honor, they provide the financial access to the underbanked community. So when you go into these stores, they're the only place that folks have the opportunity to conduct these transactions.
And those are the loan part, and I think what Judge Newman and maybe I am getting at is that, but they only also, pawn shops, perform a distinct and different service other than the loan stuff, right?
Well, let's look at, if we look at your, Judge Post, if we look at the evidence of record here, the evidence of record doesn't show they have these other distinctive, you know, services that they're arguing about. But the only thing that they've offered in the evidence of record, counsel talks about retail store and other services. It's not in the record, okay? What is in the record, what we would consider that the court look at appeal, is the sole and the precise issue for pawn stores. Is that encompassed within the broad definition of loan financing, which is in the registration? And Judge Newman, in addition to that, we've submitted mountains of evidence in terms of our common law use and what is perceived in the marketplace in terms of when people think of loan financing or pawn services, what do they perceive? These stores all offer the similar types of services. And so pawn services are encompassed in a part of loan financing as testified by both of the owners of Bridex. They both said, yes, this is loan financing.
Now, can I just, I think I'm just sort of repeating myself, but this word encompass, the words like part of, seem odd here, because the plain fact is that two different types of customers walk into pawn shops, the ones who want to walk out with cash and the ones who want to walk out with watches. Both, right? I mean, those are both part of the business. Half of it is encompassed in loan financing. The other half, not.
Your Honor,
so it strikes me as just extremely odd to say the whole business is encompassed within loan financing, unless there's evidence that loan financing, as it is generally understood, also includes the sale of the collateral, which is what the watch sellers, the watch buyers want out of the shop.
And the evidence of record supports that, Your Honor. If we look at what we've submitted in the evidence of record, it shows that they are part and parcel of the same thing, and we're talking about the same thing. It's just linguistics. This is.
I'm sorry. It is not just linguistics.
Well, it's a definitional pawn.
Some people go into pawn shops with a watch and say, "Take this, give me $500." Other people go in with $500 and say, "Take this, I want the watch." One's a retail business of goods, in which the business collects the cash, and the other is a retail business with loans, in which the business takes the goods.
I understand, Your Honor, but if we look for the purposes of the appeal, what is in the evidence of record? In the evidence of record shows that these services, the loan financing services, covers pawn shop services, Your Honor.
What evidence is there that non-pawn shop loan financing businesses sell collateral to retail customers?
Well, we don't believe there's any evidence of record that shows that non-pawn shop, you know, retail collateral is in the record. That's what they offer. Counsel has argued that, Your Honor. And it sounds nice, but the truth of the matter is...
Did you dispute below that a pawn shop sells collateral?
I didn't dispute that, Your Honor, but in terms of the evidence of record for these two, the loan financing and the pawn brokerage services, Your Honor, the evidence shows that they are, you know, one and the same encompassed, Your Honor.
I don't understand. Are you saying that there was just no evidence put in the record that there was the second service that Judge Toronto has just alluded to?
Your Honor.
Is that your answer, whether we all know it's not true, that they just never put on the evidence?
No, Your Honor. Counsel has argued that there are retail store services that include these whole host of other elements. That is not in the record, you know? What Judge Toronto's talking about is even the definition of pawn shop services. Based on my recollection of the definition of pawn shop services, it encompasses loan financing services, not these other retail services that counsel has argued in the record, but is not part of the evidence of record.
What you just said is that pawn shop services encompass loan financing. That seems to me absolutely clear and true.
Yes.
That's not the proposition that you're defending here. You're defending the proposition that loan financing encompasses pawn services.
Which we believe it does, Your Honor. That's correct. Loan financing.
That's not... That's not intuitively obvious to me.
Yes, Your Honor.
I wonder, is your answer that whether it's intuitively obvious or not, there's just nothing in the record that deals with these other services that we've been talking about? I just want to understand what your answer is.
Yes, Your Honor, we believe that's the case, that counsel has made these arguments in their brief, but there's nothing in the record that shows these other services, you know, exist. In that context. So we think it's not proper for the context of the appeal, with all due respect to the court and counsel. If we look at the evidence of the record, it shows that both parties agree that pawn brokerage services are encompassed within loan financing, you know, regardless of how it may be defined in the evidence of record. It shows that the two owners of both companies admitted that. And so, therefore, we think in the context of likely to confusion and priority, because Dollar Financial Group is the prior user having rights back to 1984 encompassed within the 120 registration.
Okay. Can I move on to a kind of a different issue, which
Please,
is what seems to be at least a question with respect to the board's analysis. And if you look at A37, they do their analysis fine. They go through all of the stuff going on in 1984. And then they refer to the 2007 stuff. And then towards the end of the page, there's a sentence beginning, "As such, we construe loan financing and that registration as encompassing all services." Sounds like the board's decision and its conclusion rested on the 2007 registration and what it said about maybe 1984, but not on the 1984 stuff. Now, I read your brief to sort of recognize that would be a problem, and so to try to say, well, no, the board rested not on the 2007 registration, but it was talking about all the stuff it had said before about 1984.
That's correct, Your Honor. We believe that the board looked at the totality of the evidence. They spent 9 pages looking at the evidence of record that we submitted based on the president of our company and the numerous employees, et cetera. So, but that applies to only coverage That applies to only Class 36 coverage dealing with the financial aspect, Your Honor. You know, Class 35 deals with kind of the retail aspect, which isn't even in the registration or part of, you know, the proceeding, Your Honor. But to your specific point, it covers all the evidence, Your Honor. I think that is one component, the incontestable registration. We also have all these common law rights that we've shown as well, which support that, and independent third-party records, dictionaries, yellow pages, white page listings, etc., that support our prior use of 1984, Your Honor.
Can I move you to the Morehouse defense?
Please, Your Honor.
Well, the board uses the standard substantially the same or whatever. Let's assume that loan services encompass the pawn services. I think the board also said, and I asked your friend about this, that the board also said, well, there's this other stuff they're talking about or they're alleging in the complaint, and that's outside. So that's what dilutes or dislodges this harm thing, right? You know what I'm talking about?
I do know what you're talking about. I do.
What do we do with that?
Well, Your Honor, you only get to the Morehouse defense and it's a conditional cross appeal.
I understand.
Yeah. Your Honor, as we argued in the brief, if you get to that issue, then we think the board erred on the Morehouse defense for two reasons. Number one, it was decided sui sponte on the summary judgment motion. And two, we think it runs contrary to a line of cases because the harm still exists in the 120 registration. There's a line of cases we cited that says if Bredex can be no more harmed by the current registrations than they can by the 120 registration, Morehouse should apply. Otherwise, we have to deal with litigation like we've done here. We think the court, the board should have applied Morehouse, Your Honor.
But on that theory, I guess you argue, you acknowledge maybe you need a remand, and then you argue for a reversal as well. And I'm not seeing how you get by a remand on this question.
Well, Your Honor, if the court decides, not, which we urge it to, not to disturb the board's decision, we don't want a remand. It's a conditional request for remand.
I understand.
Yes, Your Honor.
But if we're at the conditional request stage, how do you get us from and even if we were to agree with you on the Morehouse defense, how do you get to a reversal as opposed to the necessity of a remand?
I think, Your Honor, your remand to the court to ask them further fact-finding and also looking at the case law would say completely ignored and didn't give us an opportunity at trial to address this issue on doing it sui sponte.
Okay, so what you're telling me now is if we were to reach this conditional cross-appeal, you're not advocating a reversal based on the cross-appeal. You're just advocating a remand.
Well, Your Honor, ideally we'd like a reversal and ruling that Morehouse should prevent the case from going forward.
Well, that's what I asked you about.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I apologize.
A rationale that would support a reversal.
A complete reversal in Morehouse would preclude this suit from going forward, Your Honor. I apologize.
Well, that's the conclusion. I want to know how you get to that conclusion.
Right.
How do we not avoid a remand, even if we would agree with you what Morehouse says, and decide that on the record here? If you're advocating for reversal, tell me how we get there.
I think if you look at the case law, Your Honor, and the facts here, at the end of the day, the 120 registration creates the harm, and the later registrations, which also encompass the loan financing and pawn, can create no greater harm, and therefore Morehouse should apply, Your Honor, as a matter of law.
Doesn't that depend on whether the other side has any interest in the activities, the gold and silver coin activities, the debit card activities, and I guess the gift card activities, which I think are the three items in the current registrations, the registrations currently at issue, that the board identified as the grounds for rejecting the Morehouse defense. I would understand the point that the Morehouse defense should apply where any additional activities like these, the gold coins, the debit cards, the gift cards, are of no consequence to the challenger. So that the only things of consequence to the challenger in the new registration are already covered by a prior one. That seems to me to make kind of ordinary standing sense in terms of standing doctrine. But it depends on the facts about whether the other side has alleged that they have some cognizable interest in those three activities. What does the record say about that?
We believe the record doesn't show any support for these other alleged interests, Your Honor. They've been in business for a number of years, and there's nothing in the record that shows support that they are going to get into these other areas, Your Honor.
What did Brittix have procedurally the opportunity to present such allegations?
We believe they did, Your Honor, throughout the proceeding. This proceeding has been going on for 5 years, and we don't believe there's anything in the record that shows that they are going to get into these other areas other than attorney argument, Your Honor. And I apologize. I would like to just reserve a minute for rebuttal.
I do want to ask you about one other thing. You said there is no evidence in the record that pawnbrokers sell goods. So I'm looking at page 31.
I'm sorry, Your Honor. I don't recall. If I said that, that was a misstatement, Your Honor.
Oh, I apologize. I thought we were on this for 5 minutes.
But in the sense that, you know, go ahead, please finish, Your Honor, please.
Well, I'm looking in this. You know, block quotes of evidence in the board's opinion. Definition, pawnbroker, blah, 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 takes the borrower's personal goods as collateral to be sold to the public in a pawn shop. Later, the news article. The lending agreement allows the pawn lender to take possession of and sell the collateral if the borrower does not meet the terms of the agreement. That seems to me to be evidence that what goes on in pawn shops is two things. One, the giving of loans. Two, the selling of collateral.
But we believe both of those, Your Honor, based on the evidence of record, is covered under the broader umbrella of loan financing services. It's a type of loan financing.
So did any of the evidence that you had about loan financing say we are a loan, that there is in the non-pawnbroker world of loan financing, the loan financiers sell the collateral to the public?
Can I get back to you on rebuttal, Your Honor, and get back to you, please, if I may?
Sure.
Okay. If I may preserve the rest of my time, if that's okay with the court, unless I don't want to cut anybody off.
Okay. Thank you. We'll save you a minute for the rebuttal on the cross-appeal.
Thank you.
And we'll hear from Mr. McRae, whatever you need to tell us.
Your Honor, I'd like to just raise a couple points. With regard to the owner testimony that you heard about, the owners of Britex also testified as to the collateral and what happens to that collateral when the loan is forfeited, and discussed the retail side. So just for purposes of completeness, it was testified.
Your position is that you made the argument that no, pawn services are not limited to this loan application stuff because we have a retail component, and then you pointed to the record evidence to support that.
We argued it pretty extensively at the appendix at 6122 to 6125, and the exhibits cited there too. I have.
You want to give that to me again because we've got.
Oh, sure, absolutely. The appendix at 6122 to 25. And that really is geared not only to the retail aspects, but the things that support the retail aspects, the appraising of the variety of items, the properly pricing for resale, things of that nature that you see in the brief. So there is evidence in the record, and I just wanted to clear that up. Subject to that, I'm happy to hear whatever else the court would like to hear from.
Okay. Any more questions? Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Mr. Abraham, is there anything new that you need to tell us? You could have a 1 minute, if so.
Yes, sir.
Thank you, Your Honor, for your time and letting me get back to this issue. Now, if you look at Britex's brief, they conceded in their brief that the only thing that was issued in this proceeding is pawn, in the pawn services. Okay? They've waived the right in their briefing and argument.
What are you referring to?
If you look at page 10 of petitioner's main brief, Your Honor.
That's the blue brief?
It's a trial brief, Your Honor.
Oh.
In their trial brief, I apologize, Your Honor. Page 10 of petitioner's main trial brief.
I need a JA site.
I will get that for you in a moment, Your Honor, if I may. In particular, petitioner requests cancellation of the two registrations in full because, A, there is a likelihood of confusion between petitioner's prior common law rights in the mark, money mark, for pawn services and the registrations in dispute with respect respect to pawn brokerage and pawn shops. Registrant obtained the registrations in dispute fraudulently. So the only thing that they've put into dispute in this proceeding is the pawn services. While they argue these other services, Your Honors, they aren't relevant because they've waived the right to argue those. And the only thing they've contested is the pawn.
And this was, I'm sorry, what page of the trial brief?
Page 10, Your Honor.
Good to know. So that's page 6122 of
the appendix? 6010, that's correct, Your Honor. It would be 6010.
And the trial brief was submitted after Morehouse was dismissed, is that right?
Yes, Your Honor. That's
well, correct. Then those things wouldn't be of any issue. By the time you get to the trial brief, it's not really, is that true? Would it have been relevant for them to say, we do gold coins, et cetera?
We don't believe it. Wait, Your Honor, again, the only thing they've put at issue in this proceeding is the pawn shop services. The other issues counsel has spoken about aren't part of, you know, the record in terms of what their position has been. And as a result, we believe they've waived those other arguments. If we allow them to bring in these other arguments that are part of the record, and these other issues, I think, you know, we risk putting the appellate record on its head and really what the appeal is about. And the appeal is about the record that is before us in the context of the proceeding.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay.
Thanks to both counsel. The case is taken under submission.
Thank you, Your Honor.